As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
And now, Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Mighty Manfred with you once more, and it's time for another Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. I'll chat in a moment with HR of Bad Brains fame, and we're checking in with the noted frontman because he contributes vocals to a new single from Jesse Malin called Todd Youth that's out now on Wicked Cool Records. Youth was an accomplished guitarist, and he played initially with hardcore bands including Murphy's Law, but also with artists as varied as Glenn Campbell and Cheap Trick, and, in the 1990s, alongside Jesse Malin in D-Generation. Youth was also a huge Bad Brains fan, and when Jesse wrote this song, he enlisted HR to contribute. Let's hear some of it now, and then I'll be back with HR for our Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Here in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and joining me for our Coolest Conversations today is HR, lead singer and frontman for the long-running Bad Brains. He lends his vocal prowess to the new single from Jesse Malin, Todd Youth, that's out now on Wicked Cool Records, and also our coolest song in the world this week. How are you, HR?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good and very happy to be chatting with you today. Now, I know that you used to be in the D.C. area. Do you still call the D.C. area your home?
No, I'm living at Snow Hill, Maryland.
And how are you and your loved ones faring in these COVID times, these virus days?
Well, we quarantine ourselves. Absolutely necessary. We go to the health food store and we get some groceries there. It's called Food Lion, and we've been going there now for about 2 or 3 weeks, and we just moved to Snow Hill from Philadelphia.
So you really haven't been there that long. Your family, are they all doing okay?
Yes, my family's okay. I lost my mother. She went through transition about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
But everybody else is fine.
Great. Now, I mentioned our coolest song in the world this week being Todd Youth, new single from Jesse Malin. And Todd was an accomplished guitarist. He played with Jesse in the 1990s as a member of D-Generation, but he also played with artists as varied as Murphy's Law, the Danzig, the Glenn Campbell, and Cheap Trick. How did you know Todd?
Well, I met Todd through Gary, and he was a very positive youth, liked to play a lot of music, and he was within a certain time, he organized himself with different bands, and they played. And that was what's cool about him, because he didn't really worry about things like color of a man's skin or where he came from, any ethnic differences. He just threw away all the racism. He threw away all the capitalism, and he just came out and played with these youth, different youth, and that's cool about him. So me and Mr. Jesse had decided, well, we want to do a song about him. So we got together and did some music in the studio in Manhattan. But that was about 3 or 4 months ago. And it was really just a beautiful surprise for me. And I heard the song, and Mr. Jesse said, yeah, we want you to be in the song. Mm-hmm. So would you mind doing it? And I said, yes, of course, I'd love to do it.
So Todd passed away in October of 2018. He was 47. And my understanding is that you and Dr. No from Bad Brains performed at his memorial. Where was the memorial and what was it like?
The memorial was a place called Niagara, formerly A7. And there was a lot of people there. And for positive reasons, we just got on the stage and jammed, me and Dr. No and Dr. No's wife, with and the blessings of what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they decided to have a memorial and bury his remains in the park called Thompson Square Park that we all knew about.
And you mentioned getting on stage and jamming. Do you recall what songs you guys played?
Yes, sir. We played I Love I Jah. And this next tune called the I and I Survive.
Oh, well, that's appropriate because I wanted us to go out with that song. How did you meet Jesse? How did you guys become acquainted originally?
Well, we had met through different clubs. Like we hooked up at Bowery Club and then we did a jam session with youths at the Bowery Electric. And then we did some more work at the Niagara A7, and then we followed that up with some jams. It was a cool song, but nevertheless, we enjoyed ourselves.
Did you ever do Bad Brain shows or maybe some other project you had? Did you ever play any shows with Jesse's band Degeneration back in the 90s?
No, not at the 90s, but we did do a jam session at Coney Island, baby.
Yeah. Now, I was reading obituaries for Todd, and I never found a cause of death listed. But listening to Jesse's song about him and reading a statement from a former band member, I'm guessing he dealt with a number of his own personal demons. Maybe he had overdosed. That's kind of implied in the song. Do you know what his actual cause of death was?
Well, they said that he had overdosed.
Okay.
But I don't know to this day how much he was adored by people. I was one of the first members, Gary Miller, who showed me about Todd. And I said, oh, okay, I remember now.
So in the lyrics mention Babylon, sailing on from Babylon, leaving Babylon. Well, as a kid, I'm familiar with the ancient city of Babylon, Hanging Gardens of Babylon as a natural wonder of the ancient world. And then when I was about 11, I heard the Boney M. cover of the Melodians song Rivers of Babylon, and then later heard the original. And in that song, let's say Rivers of Babylon, this Rastafarian meaning of Babylon, Babylon also has a contemporary adjective describes decadence, as in Hollywood Babylon. When you sing sailing on from Babylon or leaving Babylon, in what sense are you thinking of Babylon? What is Babylon?
Well, it's a negative vibe that comes from within. And once one cleanses his soul and responds with repenting and getting it together, getting Babylon out of your system, that's kind of like where it comes from, leaving Babylon.
Now, you mentioned, I want to remember this right. Did you say that you had gone to Manhattan to record your vocal part for the song?
Yes, sir, we did. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, that's right.
And so you were in the studio with Jesse to do that?
Yes, sir, I sure was. And we had a ball of a time. Jesse had brought his wife, or his girlfriend, and I was there with my wife. Uh-huh. And we just got together and jammed, and it sounded really great. The song came out perfect.
Oh, I agree. The song does sound really great and very, very poignant. You know, I never knew Todd Youth, and I'm not very close to Jesse. We've met and spoken at times, but just the lyrics are very poignant, and the melody, it's a very touching tribute, I think. You mentioned Tompkins Square Park. Some of Todd's ashes were spread there. And also, I'm not sure whether it was his daughters that took his ashes, some of his ashes as well, to India, to the Yamuna River, holy river there, and spread them. Now, he was Hare Krishna. Did he ever speak much of his religious beliefs to you?
Oh, no, he didn't. He kept that to himself and didn't try to push anything on us that we didn't understand. He was a quiet youth, and he kept his visions to himself, and he did an excellent job with the Hare Krishnas, and they'd get together and do their own thing. One of the friends was Johnny Joseph, and another friend was Jimmy, and they had a nice time. They really professionally showed me what it was going on, what was going on with their lives, and how they became involved with the Hare Krishnas. And it was most inspirational.
I've read that you were born in England. How old were you when your parents moved to the U.S.?
Oh, okay. Well, we moved around a lot. My father was in the Air Force. I've been in about 12 or 13 different schools, but we settled in Oxon Hill, Maryland, which is right outside D.C. And it was there. My father has been living in that house for about 27, 28 years.
Wow. Was your brother, Earl Hudson, was he born in England or was he born here stateside?
He was born in Georgia. He came together with me after 2 years. When I was 2 years old, my mother delivered him. And later on, he became the drummer of the group The Bad Brains. And he was most effective and most precise. I remember he wanted to deal with precision and precise. And him and Daryl had a connection that was going on with them. And they really turned out to be nice. He later on joined a group with me called Human Rights. Right. And I got the name from HR.
So one of your first bands was called the Thunderbirds. And because you were... born in England, I was wondering if you took your name from the UK television show, The Thunderbirds.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, what did the Thunderbirds sound like?
Oh, the Thunderbirds did a kind of a collaboration, and we did songs like Hang On, Snoopy, Hang On, and other tunes like The Israelites. And the third song was this group called The Beatles, from The Beatles. It was called I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Oh, those are all great songs. Now, was Earl playing in The Thunderbirds or not?
Yes, he sure was. And another youth named Jeff, and also another youth named Jimmy.
I wanted to ask you about your memoir. It came out in 2016, Finding Joseph I, An Oral History of HR from Bad Brains. So am I correct in understanding this is other people's stories about you? Is that right?
Yes, sir, it is. And I'm very grateful and very honored. I didn't know all those kids was coming to be doing this session, and James Latos and also Mr. Howie Abrams came together with me, and we did some work on the studio, on the record, and also on the book.
And so were there any parts of the memoir where you were able to learn something about yourself, something you were made aware of reading other people's stories about you, where you thought, oh, I never thought of myself that way?
Yes, sir, it sure was. It was a surprise for me and a blessing. And I really remembered what was going on, and I was surprised. And it did embark on me that their collaborations with other groups and their collaborations with me, they had kept in the meanings of their heart and had come up with this very, very decisive method and wisdom that they had achieved through me.
So what would you say is the was there any one thing that was the most surprising, like a specific thing that was surprising?
Yes, sir. There was a group called Long Beach Devil Stores, Mm-hmm. And I got together with Miguel and him not too long ago, and we did a show together. And one of the songs was I and I Survived. And I was so thankful that we did it. And I had no idea that's what they wanted to do, but they said, come on, let's give it a try, man. So that's what we did. We went ahead and played and did it, and it sounded terrific.
So you had a solo album that came out last fall, Give Thanks. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, it sure is. And it was through Hardline Records, and we had met this sister who had did the addresses and the people who lined up in the band. And one of them, her name was Mrs. Kate, and she came together with us and said, hey, would you like to put out a record? And we said, sure, we'd love to. And we met Brother Ken, and we got together and just did some songs together, and it just came out in November, and it sounded great.
Well, I noticed that on the Bad Brains Facebook page last month, it announced that, and this is the quote, we are excited to have a couple of things to announce soon. Stay tuned to our page for upcoming announcements. Can you go ahead and spill the beans now and tell us what's ahead?
We did some festivals together. And one of them was the Riot Festival in Chicago. And that was a surprise that people thought we had stopped playing together, but they've seen that we were playing together. And one more place was in Gower 6, and that was in California.
And are there any plans to do a new album with Bad Brains?
We just say everything's in the Father God's hands.
Right.
And let him decide that what he wants to do, and then we'll give a sign to do it.
Well, speaking of brains, you had serious brain surgery in 2017. How are you feeling these days?
Oh, much better. I'm doing much better. We had an operation, and the operation was in about 2 years ago. And I had worked with a group, a man named Dr. Lee, and he was able to get it together. And another woman named Miss Mahmood, Dr. Mahmood, came together with him afterwards, and he was teaching me about everything that was going on. They took their time, mm-hmm. and they had a special connection that was going on with me. So I said, I'd like to do some work with Dr. Mahmood, and we started doing work with her, and everything worked out to my surprise. And yes, it was a struggle that was going on for a few years. I was getting these headaches that I couldn't understand what was going on. So we gave it a try to have this. We had tried everything else, mm-hmm. acupuncture and going into the MRI and all these other places to see what was going on. And Dr. Lee said he'd give it a try. And he had done this operation through about 202 people. Uh-huh. And he did a successful operation with me. And then later on, I met Dr. Mahmood, and we started having sessions together and pointed out what medications I should be working with. That's how it started, and that was the utmost gratefulness that I had for what they did.
So you're a big advocate of PMA, positive mental attitude. How did that help with the healing process?
Oh, well, it came a lot of different examples of people who had PMA, positive mental attitude, and was a book that had been put out by Napoleon Hill. And I'd read the book, and it took me to the Bible, the Holy Bible. And I would just like to say the 12 tribes of Israel with Prophet Gad and the Holy Bible, they did so much wonderful things for my mind. They took their time. They showed me what was going on. And like I said, led me to a highly Selassie. And then that's what made the connection positive about the Rastafari. And we weren't dealing with no ism and schism, but just straight on dealing with the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and how it was an example. Out of every month, peoples come together and decide what they were going to do, and that's how it was dealt with.
So You were a boy of around 8 when the landmark Civil Rights Bill of 1964 was passed. Was your family in any way active at the time in pursuing civil rights?
Oh, no, none at all. My father tried to stay away from politics and raised us as children of the Holy Bible. And I remember going to church as a youth. My father was a chaplain, and he didn't get involved with politics. He just stayed true to the Lord and my mother, too. And they would teach us about the different examples of that was in the Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. And thank God they did, because as youth, we grew up with lessons and made in practice for us to deal with.
Well, I was mentioning that because I was wondering whether you or members of the band or your family, friends, have any of these folks been active in recent weeks with the Black Lives Matter movement?
No, not really. Like I said, we try to stay away from politics. And what was going on to me was kind of like shocking and surprised, because I didn't know what had happened with these people. And then later on, they explained to me what was going on in Minneapolis and how the brother had been, innocently transitioned.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were mad about it. And they got together and they started having riots and all over the United States. And it was there that I remember that what was going on. And it was also a reasoning and a counsel to see Miles' Black Lives Matter.
You know, I want us to go out on a Bad Brains tune that has come up a couple of times as we've chatted. That's the song off your 1983 album, Rock for Light. I think it's very appropriate, too, for the moment that we're in, I and I Survive. Do you recall how you guys came up with the song?
Yes, sir. It was a sign of the time. And I just got my head into it. And Daryl and Earl and I collaborated the music together with Gary. And I just worked out these songs that came to me in addition. And that was how it started.
And I hadn't realized, familiar with the song for many years, but I never looked to see who had actually, who produced the album. And it says Rick Ocasek of the Cars produced the recording. What was it like working with him?
It was very nice working with him. He didn't really try to push us around or push any type of, one type of music to us. I remember that he'd come to us in Cliff Hall, Arizona, and he said he'd like to do some music with us and produce it. And we said, wow, man, you want to do some music with me? That's how it all started.
Very cool. Well, HR, thanks so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Okay, you're welcome.
Well, let's give a listen now to I and I Survive off of Rock for Light. It's Bad Brains here in Little Stevens Underground Garage. Survive from Bad Brains here in Little Stevens Underground Garage. The track is off their 1983 album, Rock for Light. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to HR, their frontman, for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. And thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Contemporary supergroup The Empty Hearts, with members from The Cars, The Romantics, Blondie, and The Chesterfield Kings, have got a new album out now titled The Second Album. And joining me next time to talk about it is their bass player, Andy Babiuk. That's your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens Underground Garage.
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe, Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com. Don't let it slide, baby, diamond ring.